I want to take just a minute or two here. I'd like for Brother Taylor to come up here if you would, and maybe we'll leave this over here at Brother Taylor, and let's draw a little something over here. I want to pass on a few thoughts to you tonight. Some of you don't know about this, and some of you do. If I could draw your attention to this side of the board here, I'd like for you to give me your undivided attention for a few minutes here and see if we can't show you some things here that we got in mind. Now then, I want Brother Taylor to draw us a little hub right here. Then a broader circle up here. Then maybe an inner circle here. And we'll take this to try to explain what we're talking about. Now if we could get a few spokes in this out to the first circle here. We're going to get a few spokes out to this one right here. And I'd like to mention this just before we go into the explaining here. How many of you know we're going to have a revival in Athens? It's coming up Monday, is it? Don't forget to fast and pray and ask God to bless you in it. And when you go there, sing for the glory of God. Don't freeze up on me. Don't get afraid. And whatever you do, sing for the glory of God over there like you sing over here. Now that I want to explain here what we're doing. Right here in this little hub here, we're likening to Monroe, Georgia. This little hub like right here, we draw this to indicate the base of operation for what we're trying to do. As some of the brethren are familiar with what I'm about to say, and some of them are not. Some of them was not at the men's meeting, and they didn't have a chance to understand this. And consequently, it was about the time that we was explaining this that Brother Tom dropped in on us the other night. He was all taking care of this that we're fixing to explain. It wasn't due back till tonight. But God willing, the more to confirm our operation, I let the whole men's service go and cause us to be late, really, in starting to cause it to go right on through to what we wanted to discuss until we finally finished the meeting, come right to the end of it, and you're right at the end of it. I was drawing this on the ground and outlining what Brother Tom was doing and that he would come back with a report when he walked in. So the divine providence of God works that way. Now then, we will call this the base of operations here. What this is, we might explain it, this is a way of stepping forth in a world outreach for souls right here. That's the idea. We've been accumulating printing machinery and all of this other stuff, and we've accumulated it, and we have the very typer that we needed that was held up on. We've already paid $300 down payment on it. It'll come out anytime we get ready. Just be so much a month that we'll have to continue on it. But anyway, we've got a full printing operation, and we've got the buses and things that we can work over and the trucks and different things. We might have to pick up another tent, which doesn't cost a whole lot, since we've got the other equipment. But anyway, we've got enough stuff here to launch a world program for God. And we want to point out what we're trying to do here. Beginning, the Bible said, first at Jerusalem and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. I tried to indoctrinate the people as much as I could concerning world evangelism to create a vision in their heart for these things, telling the brethren that if they would labor with us, that we knew what we could do for their ministry and that it would work out and they would be glad, every one of them. And whereas otherwise they may run as one that beateth the air. A lot of people feel like, a lot of ministers that is, feel like that they ought to just go out and not have any sense of direction and just say, well, I'm going to be subject to the Lord's leading. But as a consequence of that, they find out that they never get led anywhere. They are like a flat tire. They get stranded. A car with a flat tire. But you must have a sense of direction. You must plan something according to the scripture and the intelligence that God has given you to be about your Father's business. And then after you make your plans, then you must be subject to the approval and change in your plans according to godliness and according to His will, which Brother Tommy has taken the leadership in this. We're fixing to expand here, and he did just exactly that, and it worked out just exactly right. Now, he was instructed in this fashion, and it worked out. Now then, if you don't have a sense of direction when you go out as a minister, if you don't have a sense of direction, you're going to get out there and you're not going to find anything to do. And then after a while, you're going to decide that God has spoken to you when He hasn't spoken to you. And you're going to try to do something on your own, thinking that God has spoken to you. And then you're going to make your faith shipwreck. You understand what I'm saying? So you got to plan some strategy. The preparation of man's heart is from God. And here is a base of operation here, Monroe. Now, we'll just say this is just like Jerusalem, Bethlehem, all where Christ was born. From Jerusalem, the apostles, after having witnessed there and preached the gospel, begin to spread out with the testimony of Jesus Christ into all the parts of the world. Now, this is the same thing that we're doing. They never spread out until they got the knowledge themselves. There's no need, my brother, to go to try to preach to another when you yourself have not been indoctrinated with the truth. You just got a lot of ideology. And there's no need for you to try to indoctrinate others with faith if you yourself are not able to live by faith, because the ministry is faith. The message has been from Calvary to now faith, and it's still faith. And the only thing you can do is preach faith, and if you can't live faith, it's for sure you can't tell somebody about something that you don't believe in. And you may make believe, but I mean really having faith. And so then, this is the thing that we're trying to do here in Monroe. We are trying to indoctrinate our people with faith and with the real mind of God, that they might be fully equipped when they go forth to expound the gospel and when they go forth to battle. You remember when God brought Israel out, He could have took them from Egypt right into Canaan land. But the Bible said that He did not do it because He was afraid that their hearts would faint when they saw war. So then He had to prepare them in the wilderness 40 years for war. And that's what we're doing, is preparing you for war, because whether you believe it or not, there's going to be a war when you get out there fighting the devil. Paul said, no man goeth to war fighting his own charge. You might think that you're going to get by without war, but you get out there and he'll push you over in the corner and fear will rip your heart and insanity and sickness and all these other things, and you'll lay down the shield and quit. You'll get afraid. So I just wish tonight I could just tell you what you would run into, but I can't. You just have to go out there and run into some of them and you'll know. But I tell you, it's awful, and you can't stand unless you have, as Paul said, on the whole armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, your loins girt about with the truth, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, having the sword of the Spirit in your hand. So you're going to have it if you're able to stand, withstand the wiles of the devil. Paul knew they was real because he'd done encounter them, and he'd done run into those things. Now, we say that this is the base of our operation, and I've been trying to get you people into a real Christian walk of life, sincere, conscientious, integrity with God and man. Jesus grew in favor with man and God. And to get you Christ-like as near as I can, that you might operate the ministry according to the biblical terms and the gifts of the Spirit, which we'll get to and teach according to what we understand. And this right here, this base of operation right here is where we are supposed to be the hub. You understand what a hub is? You ever live in the country? I used to, when I was a boy, I'd step on the spokes, you know, and ride it over and then jump up in the wagon. My horse would be pulling. But anyway, the hub, this fits on the axle, you know. Ezekiel saw the church a wheel in the middle of the wheel. It's the wheel that carries the wagon that carries the load. So the load's here. So this is the hub. Now, from this place right here, we're trying to indoctrinate people unto Christ, to give them something to give to the world, that when they go, they may be able to indoctrinate people, that they may grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have hundreds and thousands of tent revivals and meetings of all kinds year after year. But I wonder how much the people grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. I know they shout, they sing, they do all of these things, which is wonderful. Brother Joe, some of us was discussing it today, Will and I. It's true that they do all these things, but I wonder how much that they grow in the knowledge of the Lord. They prophesy, they speak with tongues, they do those things, but when the tent meeting is gone, about all they can tell you is that how much that they received in the offerings while they was there, how the people had a shout and good time, and how people prophesied, and they don't know hardly anything that the preacher taught them. That's just about the way it goes. But the Bible said to grow in the knowledge of the Lord to the fullness of a stature, because it's God the Word mind that created the world and controls the world, and it's God the Word mind that's going to create within you the inner Christ and swallow your body up in the victorious Christ, the change and the eternal life. It's going to be the God mind that does it, because faith cometh by the hearing of God the Word, which is the God mind within you. If you have it in part, you get faith in part. If you have it in its fullness, then you get faith in its fullness. If you're in the fullness of a stature of Jesus Christ, you can do the fullness of what Jesus did. If you're in a part toward that stature, God gives it to you by measure, according to every man's several ability. If you get it that way, then that's all you're going to do for the Lord Jesus Christ. You understand what I'm saying now? All right. Now then, this is the hub, the base of operation right here. Now, the other night, Brother Tommy left on a mission from here. We have a radio program over in Winder, we might say this to start with, right close by, a 30-minute radio program, where some of these tapes will be going on, messages from the brethren, and also singing from the congregation will be going on in Winder over the radio, covering the area, whatever it might be, the power of the station. You probably know better than I. But anyway, by the time he went out to ride a circuit like the old-time riders did years ago when they go from one church to another church, John Wesley and all these other men. By the time he went out, he and Sharon and the baby, and they covered a radius of about 100 miles in a cycle here. And the purpose of it was to locate radio stations that was reasonable that we could secure for spreading the gospel. And the idea was to put a substation here. Brother Taylor will draw me a little circle right around that hub. One to the east and one to the west, one to the north and one to the south. And then have one in Winder, which is in the areas of Bethlehem or Monroe, the area of operation. That gives us five stations, which Tom successfully picked up for us at a reasonable rate, with the exception of one, and he's going out in a few days in the east to pick that one up. Now this gives us a broad range that covers hundreds and hundreds and multiplied hundreds of miles, and thousands and multiplied thousands of hearers, that we might get the gospel to them. The idea is to, from here, esteem the brethren very highly for their work's sake in such a way that the people can become acquainted with them through the radio. That is, these that we've indoctrinated toward the fullness of the stature, the best of our ability. And that from the radio, they are projected into the hearts of humanity from here. All right? In doing this, Brother Tom also lets them know that if there's anybody open for prayer meetings anywhere around, as in the early apostolic church, from house to house they broke bread, singing a song, rejoicing in God. And if they want a prayer meeting, then they contact Brother Tom from the radio station here, after hearing him and the brethren through this base of operation. And then when they hear this, they will call for him in their home. If the home, if the people in that area take to it, we might have a three-day meeting, or a week meeting, or whatever it might be, and send some of the young fellows up here with their musical instruments to stand behind them for 3 days or a week and get the buses fixed and so on. Now, if they want them in that area. Now, next thing is he will, maybe Brother Taylor be preaching over here this coming Sunday. I think we're going to try to go on all five stations this coming Sunday. Is that right, Tom, or next Sunday? 9th of May. All right, now, I told you, brethren, that with the coming meeting in Athens, that it represented a great cycle being ended and the message would break forth. Isn't that what I told you? Amen. And so I'm come questioning how it was going to be done, and I said the Lord was doing His own way. And this is what the Lord had put in my heart a long time back, but He never had perfected it as to what I felt He wanted, and the hour wasn't then for it. But anyway, with the meeting coming up, it breaks to the people, the revelation. Now then, Brother Taylor may be preaching here, Tom may be preaching here, Brother Ernie may be preaching over here, and Brother Ira Gonzalez over here, Brother John Jameson here, and so forth and so on. This week, maybe next week, Brother Jimmy may be preaching over here, Brother Joe may be preaching over here, Brother Bob Trouble over here, and Brother Atlee over here. And whoever we have as the ministry will be preaching and being projected to the people. You will be singing to the people with a regularity all around, with your rejoicing and singing here and prophesying and speaking in tongues and whatever God has to the body here, to stir them toward the move of God and the Spirit, the anointing of Christ. Now, if there be a three-day revival in these places or a meeting, then back here, Brother Atlee, will run literature, and those that work with us, Brother Ralph wants to labor with us in these things, and some of the others, Brother Floyd, man, the ones that work in the home base operation, some of the ladies also, Sister Lynn wanted to, and some of the others, who work in the home base operation, there'll be more than you can do. But anyway, everybody will have plenty of job, and you'll be projected to the people in your personal ministry by voice and by prayer and fasting, and also in your labor by literature, that you might have a reward with God. We all be labors together. Now, I'm like an old worn-out shoe, and I can't do much, but all of you are young and healthy and strong and ready to go forward. Now, serving here in these areas here, Brother Atlee will produce the literature as far as tracts and books and so forth, that these people that are born to God in this area from your labors will go out and pass out literature, tracts and so forth in this area to spread it throughout there. And then with this, our advertisement for revival will be also spread in these areas, that it won't be any expense. When an evangelist goes out, he has all kinds of expense. If he's got to put up with all kinds of expense, then he can't do nothing for God because he's miserable and can't even meet his finance in the day we're living in because the doors are closed to him. So we have to plan strategy with God and do it like the early church did. Now, if it doesn't function like the early church functioned, then it's not the restoration of the apostolic church. It's just another part of the operation of God. Now, if this be the same way as it was with Paul and the apostles, they would go out, but they would come back to Jerusalem. This was the base of operation, the headquarters. For instance, Paul got out in the field on one occasion. They had a difference over down at Antioch, I believe it was, had a difference concerning the Word of God. And though Paul was very broad-minded and didn't have to ask anybody anything, yet because he knew the individual that approached him wouldn't accept it from one, but had been taught to establish in the mouth of two or three witnesses, he said, let's go back to Jerusalem. He knows Peter's got the keys to the kingdom. Amen. So I went back up here, and in respect to the brethren, they had a discussion and proved that Paul was right. You understand what I'm saying? They worked hand in hand. They wasn't cut off from the vine to drop and wither away. But they worked together, and their joy was full because they represented each other, labored with each other, and financially stood with each other. Paul established churches and houses in different places, put overseers over them. The Bible said Holy Ghost overseers over the church. And there they were, those capable elders and so forth, was ordained, and the gospel was spread, and men didn't just go about having little spiritual children born and leaving them out across the world without any mother and daddy or without any home. They had a place of refuge to grow to the fullness of the stature. Now then, in this first cycle of the outreach here, the literature will go out to these places right here. We'll be spread and give them something to do. Now, they in return will branch out here. Brother Taylor will put it on out here to the spokes on out the outer circle. This will continue to spring out all through the United States and right on into the foreign countries across the world. The bigger it goes, the bigger it gets. Alright, the more brethren we get, the bigger it gets. The more we spread out, the more finance God can send in. If we use faith and prayer, God's in it. And the more brethren we get, the more finance, the more these men that are in the hub that's capable can be supported all together without working on a job, all together then that's the point, is it grows to where them and their wives can go out into the field and become special spiritual technicians to see that these are carried on right here. Now, this can work to build up this, and because this is farther from this than this, then these that are here can work as overseers here, and these can become specialists after it reaches so far, just to drop in and out and around to take care of things and to keep things decently in order and keep things functioning right. This can support, whereas the hub will support these first radio stations, then when they become self-supporting, they can support these right here. And on and so on. You understand what I'm saying? With the same outreach of into the homes, of stirring up meetings and revivals, or something is adequate for the purpose. We see that the real revival breaks out in the home. We'll set a tent in there and have a tent crusade, or we'll have an evangelistic service, open air meetings, or auditoriums, or whatever it is. If God gives us a meeting in there, well, some of you brethren can go on holy. Some of our youth here can stay with the music and really get right in there with God and go right in there. And if it groups, other groups will be raised up in music around here. This is a good time to hold fast and nobody take your crown. There's a lot of hungry folks up there. Taking the oversight over the church of God, which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers over to feed it, the one that God has purchased with his blood. Now then, this will also not only give the brethren a chance to reach out in their ministry, whereas they've been hindered, through radio, but it will let them go and come to these prayer meetings, traveling to and fro to these prayer meetings to preach at them and reach the people and these revivals that break out to reach the people. Now, if it gets an extensive thing, like say, for instance, we go up into New York, and I'm sure that we will because there's some good brethren there. If we get up as far as a place like New York or New Jersey, matter of fact, down by the, I believe we've got some people coming down from in places to the wedding. But anyway, don't forget Cindy's wedding, which is coming up just a few days from now, Saturday evening, I believe it is. I believe it carries a spiritual significance. But anyway, well, if you can see what I'm saying here, like for instance, you got, say Brother Tommy was up in New York, and God had established something here. Maybe a work was established from these prayer meetings, a church home. All right, then he would call for a pastor. Well, if it wasn't a pastor raised up in that area, maybe we'll have one in the hub. It would love to go pastor for 3 months or a year and change over to another place. If he's not an evangelist, he may be a pastor. But anyway, say that in New York, if something broke open, whatever it would be, and Brother Tommy called back and said, Brother Pike, we're having a wonderful meeting up here, and I need Brother Al Gonzalez to come up and minister tonight. So Brother Al couldn't take Sister Nob and the babies, but they'd be right here in a Christian environment to where nobody would hurt them, lights burning all night long, and the brethren right around to watch after them and hollering distance to watch after them. Al could catch a plane and go up there. We'd pay his way on the plane to go up there and preach a night and then pay his way back down here, or either Tommy could from up there if they got enough income. Now, if Tommy gets enough money in that area up there to take care of that, then the overflow comes back to here because this is carrying the weight of the thing and sending the brethren out. So everything is brought back to the hub to be spread out like a government. A president, he goes out and then the taxes come back and it's spread out for the benefit of the people, not for the greed of ecclesiastical powers like some of them are doing. So then, Brother Al go up and preach a night. And Sister Nobby, I'm sure, sacrifice the night for Jesus. All right? Then, Brother Al, we don't want them to stay away from their families. When they left Egypt, they took their families. Now, what we want them to do, if it's everything's all right, then Brother Al can catch a plane, come back, take his car, and we hope we'll all have good cars, take his car, take the bus, and some of the brethren, whoever's going to evangelize with him, go up there with his family, and they'll have a place prepared for him and his family to stay there 3 days or a week or whatever it is, have a meeting, and then him and his family come back for a rest here, and retreat, and then another group go out. Now then, but otherwise, we're just working on the order that we'll go here, and these will go here, and these will go here, and so on, taking the oversight as it works out. Now, are you following what I'm saying now? All right, now this will open doors for everybody's ministry. There's no reason why that you can't have a minister for Jesus Christ. There's no reason why you are limited to any doctrine or any creed. And if you don't believe in this revelation, certainly you're foolish to stay around it. But if you do believe in it, you believe it's the Word of God, then I'm sure that nobody will have to make you preach it. You will delight in preaching it. And if that be so, then there's no strings attached, there's no bondage as it is with denominations, there's no ecclesiastical powers as a denominational power. You know that from Pentecost, the denominations copied the early apostolic church. That's why they function like they do. They're an antitype of it. And that's the husk or the stalk through which the grain went, and then it was to come back out into the apostolic grain right here, as it was in the early church. There it was one nation, one grain, which was one nation of Jews that fell in the ground. Today it's out here, many nations, multiplied grains of resurrection to a harvest. So then it's reaching out in this manner, and the literature can follow. We reach out through Mexico, it worked the same way. Reach out through Canada, it worked the same way. Through Germany, it worked the same way. And they're still wanting us in Grand Cayman, they're still wanting us. Got a letter today, I believe, from Jamaica. And there's other places that want ministers around the country. They're begging for the real truth of Jesus Christ. And the revelation of the Lord Jesus can be projected. And that's why that I have been carefully trying to capture Brother Al's preaching while he was under the anointing and inspiration, Brother John's preaching, and Brother Tommy's and all of them. We've got tapes of almost every preacher in here at one time or another, either over XCRF in Del Rio, Texas, or in the Big Gun of Dixie, or some radio station, or some meeting where they have participated. So we've got this, we've got the singing, we've got people's testimonies, and all of this will not be a makeup thing, but it will be transferred from right here and transplanted over here into another area. Now, do you follow me? First witnesses in Jerusalem and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. This is the way the apostles did it. They did not break ranks. There was one great army that reached out, and they did not break ranks, and they grew and grew into just one great body, just one body. There's one shepherd. That's the Lord Jesus, the chief shepherd, which is the revelation. He's the only shepherd, and we are overseers and laborers together in this. Now, some of you will become heads because you're so far advanced to some of these people until they'll be like little newborn babes. Some of you people here that's not even very far advanced in comparison to the other brethren will be giants to some of these other people in the revelation. That's right. You may be little among these men, but you'll be giants here. Now, I believe there's more to spreading the gospel, Jesus said, about my Father's business. I believe there's more to spreading the gospel than just shouting. I believe in shouting. I really do. I believe in praising God, but I've said this again and again. The children should run and sing and skip rope and shoot marbles and play. Paul said, for when I was a child, I did all that. But there comes a time when we become a man and we put away childish things. Because as it was used to be with Ernest, little Becky, time comes from the bottle, she wants a bottle. She don't want Daddy to get out there and play jump rope with her. You understand what I mean? When time for the biscuit, she wants something to eat. And she don't mind Daddy playing jump rope with her sometime, but that ain't going to take the place of the biscuits that's supposed to be on the table when she's hungry. She loses interest in the jump rope. So some of them will run and shout and scream and holler, but when the shadows of night and evil spirits start falling around them, hollering and shouting ain't going to do it. Like Mary and with the temple over there, it's got to be the word of the Lord. It's got to be the mind of God that will expel that darkness. So then, you see, what we're trying to do is be about our Father's business and plan some strategy to where we can reach out in throughout the world and reach lost souls. The Bible said, he that winneth souls is wise, and on that day, they that win souls shall outshine the noonday sun when they come forth. So then, we're not trying to tear down our barns to build bigger, to lay up for the flesh, because what we're doing as under the brethren, and I hope that you're doing it as under the brethren. And I told you from time to time, all of you, not to get sidetracked and not to misjudge me in what I was doing, because you would get overloaded with finance and cares of this life that they come upon your words, and you'd miss the goal. For when you come out of Egypt, there would be a time when Moses would ask for the money to build the house of God, and some of you would have to put it in golden calves. So then, the time is here when the minister's going to call for your support and efforts. Jesus said, watch with me 1 hour, then we'll sleep on it. So I trust that you've not got overboard in the financial realms, but that you understood that he that gathered much had no lack, he that gathered little had nothing, or lack money, he gathered much had nothing over. That is, one supplies the other. You understand what I'm saying? This is the purpose and plan. If they gather much at this substation, then we'll take care of our shortage here. If we gather much here, then we'll take care of their shortage there. Then we don't have any better than they. We all have things common. You understand what I'm saying? Now, this has been the idea of getting the stock. This has been the idea of getting the land. This has been the idea of accumulating the stuff as it was in the days of David. He accumulated all that stuff that Solomon, his son, might build the house of God and that it might be spread throughout the world. I believe that ye are the sons of God, and I believe that you can take this material that's been gathered, and whereas you may be a sign or a symbol of David in this hub right here, yet these that branch out around you is a symbol of Solomon, and whereas they'll find peace, because there's no war if you go in there and set everything up for them. You got everything here to offer them, and they can spread it and build the house of God, and the things of Jesus Christ can go on. You understand what I'm saying? All right, the young boys can go with us in crusades in Mexico. We might say this, some of you like to ride a horse. I know you do because you buy horses. Well, down in Mexico, you can go down there, we'll take the chuck wagon, which is the old bus out here, and get it fixed up real good with the water and with the bathrooms and with the food and with the beds and everything, and put it down in old Mexico, back in the hill country, and park it and camp out down there and leave a few people down there with it. And then take a few Christian scouts, as they did when they spied out Canaan, get some saddle horses, and some of you can climb on board and go back in the mountains and in little old villages. Some that's the only way you can get into some of them now, unless you're walking, like me and Al done sometime. But anyway, you go back there and spread thousands and thousands of pieces of literature in Spanish to the labor of these brethren, Brother John James, and then they sat all night long, weary, translating to have this stuff ready. We got ready for a world outreach. And all this stuff is ready, and ready to go to press, so it's already gone to press. And the Brother John Carnes also labored faithfully at the light table, sometime real nervous. But anyway, him, Brother Taylor, him, and others stood by this. And some of the lady folks is really hope out. And especially in the outreach of dressing, you'll have a chance to make more dresses for them in the substations that want to follow the same pattern to help out in this also as it was with Dawkins. So, well, that's not very important. Well, it raised her from the dead, so it must have a power. But anyway, as to say this, that in old Mexico, we can fill up saddlebags and go back in there. And one of our friends over in Arizona, in the biggest Indian reservation in the world, he wrote to me, and we got a lot of literature concerning that. We can publish something concerning the Indians. I got it all stacked back. But he asked us if we would come to Tucson we're out in Arizona and over in Idaho and different places back in there. Well, they got the Indian reservations. He said the only way to get to these Indians is with a pack horse to go out as a group, camp out on the prairie overnight, and then go on after camping out there a night or two, whatever it takes to get back there to them. They're real primitive. But we got a lot of youth around here that's got a lot of strength. It wouldn't hurt them to do that. Now, some of them might get killed, but after all, men hazard their life for the name of the Lord Jesus. I don't want to get you killed. I'm not trying to get you killed. But sometimes you do get killed, don't you, Tom? But anyway, if you die, we'll just have to replace you. That's all I know to do. But I hope you don't get killed. I've had Bill crying and bawling and Cindy crying and bawling when the car was about to go off the icy mountains, you know, and he was repenting, was going to live the best life you ever seen. Like Brother Frankie Moore, when he said when he went down to South America and he was on the plane, so he didn't think too much about baptism in Jesus' name, though it's been introduced to him. Said, but when he got there, the lightning was coming. Said he really got serious about that thing, and he thought that was really far more important than he ever thought it was. So he said, Lord, if you just let me get off this plane, we'll take care of that end. But anyway, what I'm trying to say here is that some of the boys may get killed. Some of them may get hurt. They do kill folks, and he may send out a party, and all of them may get killed. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you about it. You can't do it. Men are doing it every day. They're getting killed every day. Men get killed on the road. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. I got a son, and I got some daughters, and God knows I don't want to lose one of them. But there's one thing about it. I'd rather know that my daughter or my son or my sons-in-laws, whatever it might come to, that with my wife or whoever it is, me, I'd rather know that they'd be killed for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ and the publishing of the gospel than anything that I could think of. That's right. I hope you feel the same way, and I believe that you do. We've got to mean business. If it's the old apostolic church, you've got to mean business. That's all it is to. Do you really mean business with God? No praying about it, folks. Let's mean business. All right. So then we are keeping this down to a minimum expense. I've had to hold up on this till God's time. And strange, you can say coincidentally, you can say divine providence of God, or you can say, well, it just happened. But the expense that we've been under, the heavy load that is, that we've been under, is beginning to subside and beginning to go away to some degree right here at the very time when the meeting's coming up in Athens, when I said it would be spread, which is giving us a little breathing spell to get a few radio stations. Not a great expense involved in this first cycle here. But how many of you want to see this reach out? How many will pray? You think that God will bless it? All right, there's a lot to be said about it, but this is just some basic fundamentals on it. And tonight I trust that you will receive this and understand this. And I was going to have somebody to minister to you tonight, but I think we'll just sing a little bit and worship the Lord, because this is Christian strategy here for Christ, and not really you that we might all prepare for this. Now pray and fast and do everything you can. I know you've been sacrificing, but let's continue to do it that we might rejoice in the day of the appearing of the Son of God.